This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Kama, tape number 6.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Tape is dedicated in memory of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Harav Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Amid Beis, from the Mishnah. If someone gave wool to a man to dye for him, to put color in it, and he ruined the wool, he must pay for it. He must pay the value of the wool. If he gave him wool to dye red, and he dyed it in black, or vice versa, he gave it to him to dye in black, but he dyed it in red, Rameir says, Shinui kaina. So the wool belongs to the worker, so he must pay back the value of the wool. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shinui lai kaina. So the worker only gets a knas. So if the shvach, i.e. the value of the garment, which is worth more because it was dyed, is worth more than the expenses, the owner of the garment must only pay back the worker for the expenses. But for the yitziah, the other expenses, if they were more than the shvach, he must only pay the shvach. And the Gemara says, this poor quality dye is from the bottom of the flask of dye. Daf Kuf Aleph. If a garment was dyed with color from produce, that was arla, i.e. was osir bahana, so you must burn the garment, even though there was no substance to this color. From here we see, chazusa milsa, color has chashivas. If dam, blood, from a dead body gets absorbed into the floor of a house, so all kalim already in the house at the time of the death become tame, but kalim brought in later remain tahar. Daf Kuf Beis. One cannot use kedushe shvius for soaking flax, for example, using wine for that. But Rabbi Yossi says you can use it, since once it deteriorates from grapes to wine, it loses its kedushas shvius. Rabbi Yossi says, from the pasuk of La'achla, we learn that not only can't you use kedushas shvius for food, but you can't use it for medicines either. Rabbi Yossi said, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and like Rabbi Yehuda, even though when we normally say, Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, the day before a Goyish holiday, you shouldn't pay back loans to them, since they may be happy because they're getting their money back, and then they may go and worship their Avodah Zarah as thanks for the money that they just received. The klal is, machlokes v'yachar kach stam, halacha kistam, i.e. a stam mishnah. So it's pashut that in the case here of tzeveah, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says, all of Seder Nezikin is considered as one big mesechta, not separate mesechtas. Others say really that it's just the Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra that are all considered as one Masechta, but the rest of the Seder is actually separated from that. If Reuven gives money to Shimon to buy wheat so they can share in the profit, but instead he bought barley, or vice versa, he gave money to buy barley, but instead he bought wheat, Rameir says, Shinui Kaina. So if there's a profit, it all goes to Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shinui Eina Kaina. So if there's a profit, Reuven and Shimon share it equally. If one is Mekadesh all of his property, the hektish value is chal, even on his tefillin. But we don't assess value based on the property of his wife and children, since that would threaten shalom bayit. And finally, if Reuven bought a field for himself, but he told the seller he was buying it for someone else, we don't force him to sell it back to Reuven. Rav Kahana paid $100 to receive flax, and it went up in price. The person who sold it to him went and sold it to someone else and wanted to give the cash, i.e. the $200, to Rav Kahana. So Rav paskened that as long as the seller said it's Rav Kahana's flax, then Rav Kahana can take $200. If not, he cannot. Because Rav said, one is allowed to give money to receive peiros or flax at today's cheaper price. For example, like buying futures. You buy it today at a certain price to be able to get it at today's lower price. But one cannot give money now for this if later on they'll give you money instead of peiros, because that looks like ribbis. The Mishnah. If someone stole from his friend something worth a shava pruta, and he swore that he didn't steal it, and then admitted that he swore falsely, he's chayav to bring a karban asham, pay back the karen, and add on a chaymish, add on 1/5. To receive a kapara, he must return the stolen object to the nigzal, even if it means traveling all the way to Madai. But if he wants, he can give it to a shliach beznin to deliver it to Madai. If the nigzal dies, he must pay back the yarshim. If the gazlan paid the karen, and then swore falsely on the chaymish, and was then maida that he lied, he must pay a chaymish on the chaymish. Gemara. Reuven stole from one of five people, but doesn't know who he stole from. And all five people said, he stole from me. The other one said he stole from me. The other one said he stole from me. Now, of course, that's impossible because he couldn't have stolen from all five people. Reb Tarfon put the money down in front of them and said, leave. Put the money in front of them and let them settle it between themselves. Rabbi Akiva says, this isn't a way to exit the Avera. Rather, you must pay back all five people. Rabbi Tzadik made a takana that if the Nigzal lives far away and it'll cost a lot of money to travel there, you can give the money to a Shliach Bezdin to deliver it. When a story is introduced by the words Umaisa Bechasid Echad, it's either referring to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda Bereb Eloi. Daf Kuf Dalet. Reuven appoints a Shliach to pick up Reuven's money, which is being watched by Shimon. And Edom saw this. When Shimon gives the money to the Shliach, do we say the money is no longer in his Rishus, i.e. if it gets lost, Shimon isn't responsible? Or do we not say this? Rav Chizda says the Shlichus is good, so now the money is back in the Rishus of Reuven, via the Shliach. Rabba says, no, the case is similar to what we learnt in Bava Metzia, in Hashayel HaSapara. If Reuven lent an ox via a Shliach, when does the responsibility pass over to the Shayel? When it was sent or when it was received? The Gemara says the din of having to return money to the Nigzal via traveling to a city is only on the Karen, not on the Chaimish. From here we see the Chaimish is a Chiev Mammon, not a Chiev Knas. So if the Gazlan died, the Yarshim must pay the Chaimish. Daf Kofei. There was no Chiev for the Ganav to travel to the Nigzal if the article is worth less than a Pruta. But that's only if the item isn't around anymore. Others say, even if it's here. If there is a mace in a house and a hole in the ceiling, so the tumah can go up to the attic. But if you stopped up the hole with a barrel, the tumah cannot go into the attic. But if half, only half, of this hole was stopped off, the tumah can still get through. If a person has an ox in front of him and says to his friend, Halach, here it is, here's your ox, that's not considered a kviras mammon. We only assume kvira if the ox isn't around. There's a machlokes if there's only an eid echad, if the possibility of karban shvua exists at all. If a shomer denies he has a pikadon, and an edim came to refute his taina, so from the time of his kvira, he has the din of a gazlan, and if an oinus occurs, he's chayef, even if he was designated only as a shomer chinam. And finally, midaraisa, you can only make a shvua to prevent people from taking money away from you. Midarabanan, there's also certain shvuas to take money away from someone else. Daf Kuf Vav. If a person swore five times that he doesn't owe money, and we find out he was lying, he's chayev for each shvua a chaimish as well as an asham. If someone was a shomer and he claimed the item was stolen, Edom came and said he was lying, so if he was meida before the Edom came, he's chayev for karen, chaimish, and asham. But if he was meida after the Edom came, then he pays kefil and asham. If a shomer is tayin tainas ganav, he must pay kefil or dalad vehe if we found out he was lying. If a child was found in the stomach of a mother cow, which is called a ben pakua, it does not need shchita. Rameir holds a ben pakua does need shchita. If a person is tayin tainas ganav, he must pay kefil, as the pasuk says, al kol aveda. Kol comes to include tayin tainas ganav. And from ki yitain ish, we learn that only a gadol can force a shvua. But by a katan, there's no shvua and no kefil. The Ramban says that the Torah patters one from swearing to a katan in all cases, not just here. Daf Kuf Zayin. Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, when a shomer claims an item was stolen, he's only chayav a shvua if he was meida b'miktsas. So if Kofer Bakol and he denies everything, he's not chayav a shvua. He's only chayav if he agreed to part of it, but the other part he left open. We learn this from the pasuk of Ki Hu Zeh. But Reb Chiya Bar Yosef argues and says, Ki Hu Zeh only applies to a halva, to a loan, but there's a chiyav shvua only if he was meida b'miktsas. But by shmira, somebody's watching an item and therefore then it got lost, one is chayav to swear and pay kefil even if he was kefir bakol. And the pasuk of Ki Hu Zeh from Shmais Chof Gimel only applies to a halva where the halach of meida b'miktsas would apply. Because why is this true? Because ein adam meyis panav bifnei bal chayve. A person wouldn't have the chutzpah to deny the loan completely, therefore he only denies half. So that's the logic in terms of a shvua by meida b'miktsas between these two cases. Since he wouldn't lie completely, if he is kaifer bakal, we're not machayev a shvua. But by pikadon, by a shomer, one would lie and would be kaifer bakal. That's why a shvua is needed even by kaifer bakal. Al-Adaf brings a machlekes here between Rashi and Taisvus. Rashi explains the reason for the distinction between a shemer and a leiva is because chazaka ain't at a meis pana b'pnei bal chayve. That's based on the assumption that since the malva did the leiva the favor of lending him the money, he wouldn't have the chutzpah to falsely deny the loan completely in front of him. However, there is no chazaka dictating that a shemer would not falsely deny his responsibility to pay for the item he was guarding, since a shemer did not receive any favor from the mafkid. On the contrary, he's the one doing the courtesy by guarding the mafkid's item for him. Taisvis cites the opinion of the Riva, who disagrees with Rashi, and explains that the distinction between a shemer and a leiva is not based on the fact that a shemer is not beholden to the mafkid. The Riva says, rather, that the chazaka ein ode meis panav b'vnei bal chayve dictates that any defendant would not have the audacity to falsely deny the plaintiff's claim to his face, knowing that the plaintiff is aware of his lie. However, a shemer will not hesitate to lie to the mafkid about a purported accident, since the mafkid has no first-hand knowledge if and how the item ever got lost in the first place. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says, Tayin Tainis Ganav is only Chayev Kefil if he used the article before his Shvuah. If he never used it, however, he's Pater. Since the Pasuk says, V'nikrav Habayis El Ha'elikim. Reb Nachman says, when a Shemer Chinam claims the item was stolen, he must make three Shvuahs. One, he wasn't negligent. Two, he didn't use the item. And three, it's not in his Rishus. When someone is Chayev for Kefil due to Tayin Tainis Ganav, there's no Chiyev at that point of Chaymish. If a person twice claimed Tayin Tainis Ganav and swore twice, he's chayev to pay kefil twice. If Reuven gave something to Shimon to watch, i.e. Zeshemech Chinam, and Shimon swore it was stolen, so he's pater mitashlumin, but Shimon decided to pay for it anyways, and then we discovered the Ganav, so the Ganav must pay kefil, but to who? Abaya says he has to pay to the owner, to the Baal HaPikadon. Rava says he pays to the Shemer. Since he was nice enough to pay for the item, the Baal HaPikadon is Meichel the Kefil. Mishnah. If a person says to a Shemer, where's my security? The Shemer says it was lost. So the man says swear, and the Shemer swears. Then witnesses say the Shemer ate the Pikadon. He ate it. So he must pay Karen. If he's made it himself, he must also pay a Chemish and bring an Asham. If the Shemer says it was stolen, and Adam said he lied, the Shemer must pay Kefil. If he was Meide Ba'atzmai, he must pay Karen, Chemish, and Asham. If a man stole from his father and swore falsely and then the father died and the son is Maida, he pays up the money to his brothers, since they're the Yarshim. Rashi explains that although the Gazlan himself is one of his father's Yarshim, nevertheless he cannot keep it himself, but he rather must return the stolen article to some other Yarish in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, returning items which were stolen. Daf Kuftas. The Gemara. If a person stole from his father, and there are no other Yarshim, he should still return it, but to its staka, so that he can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashava. The Gemara says a Gazlan cannot be Meichel to himself, and it is explained very nicely in Al-Hadaf. If a Gazlan dies and does not leave any Yarshim, the Torah says that the Gazlan must return the stolen article to the Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara explains that the Torah is referring to a Nigzal who is a Ger, a convert, and he therefore has no Jewish relatives. But an ordinary Jew always has Yarshim. If not close relatives, he has at least distant relatives. Based on the principle of Ger Shenisgayer Kekutin Shenayladami, a convert is compared to a newborn child, even if the Ger's relatives also convert, they nevertheless are not halachically considered to be related to him. Because at the time of the conversion, a Ger halachically severs all family ties to his Geisha family. The Gemara says, however, that before giving the stolen article to the Kohanim, the Gazlan must ascertain that the Ger was not survived by any Jewish children born to him after his conversion, because such children, understandably, are his legal heirs and are entitled to inherit from him. The Gemara continues, in a case where the Nigzal was a Ger Kutin, a convert who was a Kutin, there was no need to search for possible relatives, because as a Kutin, he could not have possibly left any children of his own. And therefore, we can be certain that he wasn't survived by any legal Yarshim. Taisvus, however, is puzzled by the case of Ger Kutin. He cites a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which states that a Kutin lacks the power to effect a legal acquisition. He also cites the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that says that a Ger is not halachically entitled to inherit from his Goyish father, Minatara. Consequently, Taisvus wonders, how can a Ger Kutin possibly be a Nigzal, a robbery victim, inasmuch a Kutin cannot own anything Minatara? As a katan, he lacks the power to be kind of something on his own. And as a ger, neither is it possible that he inherited from his father. Taisvis in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Amud Beis, answers that though a ger katan does not inherit his gayisha father, a guy does inherit his gayisha father. Therefore, it is possible that a ger katan inherited his gayisha father before his conversion. The Rashba, however, answers differently. He explains that a ger katan does not necessarily mean that the child himself converted, but rather could be referring to a child born to a ger. Since he was conceived after his father's conversion, his relationship to his father is the same as any ordinary Jew, and he therefore is entitled to inherit his father. Therefore, such a ger katan can conceivably own something of his own by inheriting it from his father. We say not only does this halacha of gezel hager apply if the item is stolen from a man, but it also applies to a woman who was stolen from. When we say that the money is returned to Kohanim, it is given to the Kohanim that are working the shift that week in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks, how do we know that a Kohen can come at any time he wants and bring a carbon, even if his shift isn't on duty that week? More answers in the Pasuk in Devarim Yudches, Uba Bechal Ois, and he can keep the skins as well. Daf Kuf Yud. If a Kohen of a weekly shift was Tame, but he needed to bring a carbon sibur, which is Deicha Tuma, he can do the Avaida, but he cannot eat the meat. If the Kohen is an Einin meaning it was the day of his family, someone in his family died, he can do the Avaida, but he also can't eat from the carbon. Mishnah. If someone stole from a ger and he swore, then the ger died and then this person was Maida, he pays the Karen and the Chaimish to the Kohanim of the Mishmar, and he must bring a carbon Asham. Gemara. Normally, Kohanim are not allowed to trade their portion of Karbanis with other Karbanis, or with other Kohanim. This includes Gezel Hager, which also cannot be traded. What about the weekly shift who receives the Gezel Hager? Is it like a Matana, or is it like a Yerusha? Nafkamina would be if it was Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. There were 24 gifts given to Aaron and the Kohanim, and we derive these from numerous Klal U'Pratu Klal, from the Torah. These are the gifts. 10 can only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, 4 can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, 10 can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, including Pidyon HaBen, Pidyon Petach Hamor, Chala, and Truma. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Tav Lemesev Tandu Milemesev Armela. It's better to be married and have companionship, even with someone who isn't ideal, rather than to sit alone and not be married. This is brought in context with the Gemara here, which says that if a man dies without children, his wife is a Yavama, and the mitzvah of Yibum obligates her to marry her husband's brother, which is called the Yavam. If the Yavam refuses to marry her, he must perform Chalitza with her to release her and permit her to marry other people, i.e. Yavama, to marry Lishuk, that's what we call it. The Gemara suggests that in the event that the Yavam is a particularly repulsive individual, Mukas Shchin, the Yavama should be able to marry Lishuk even without Yibum or Chalitza. The Gemara says that she should be entitled to be mevatel her original marriage on the grounds that it was a mekach tois. For had she known that she would eventually be obligated to marry her husband's brother, the mukas shchin, she never initially would have agreed to marry the first brother. Once her original marriage is cancelled, she is no longer yavama, and she therefore does not require yibam or chalitza. The Gemara, however, concludes that since as a rule women have a strong desire for marriage and companionship, tav lemesev tandum lemesev armela, the assumption is that even if a woman was aware of the possibility that her marriage could eventually result in her falling to a mukas shchin for yibam, she nevertheless would be willing to take a chance and would consent to the marriage anyway. Tav lemesev, tandu melemesev, armela. The kesef, the karen, is given to the kohanim before the carbon is brought, as we see from the pasuk milvad el hakipurim. How do we know nothing should precede the bringing of the tamid shel shachar in the morning? More answers, since the pasuk says v'arach aleha ha'oila. And finally, if a person had hanah from hektish b'shaygig, he's chayav to pay karen chaymish v'asham. And if he didn't do all three, then he has no kapara. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin the final perek of Baba Kama, perek ha'gezel u'machil, the Mishnah. If a person stole food and fed it to his children, or he died and left it as a yerusha, the children don't have to pay it back. But if it's a davar sheyesh bahan achrayis, then they must pay back. Gemara. If someone stole something, but the owner hasn't been miyayish yet, and someone else came and ate it, so the bailam can come and claim for either Reuven or from Shimon. As long as the owner was miyayish, it's still in his rishus. But after yish, it comes out of his rishus. Rami Bar Chama says, the reshus of the Yerush, i.e. the kids, is like the reshus of the Lekech, i.e. he bought it, since Yiyush and Shin Reshus is Kaina. Rava says, reshus Yerush lav kirshus Lekech dami. Rava said, when I die, Rav Eishia will come out to greet me, because I learnt up the Mishnayasin like him. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. If a father died and left to the Yerushim money he had collected as ribbis, the children can still keep it, since they weren't the ones who took the ribbis. You would expect that they shouldn't be able to, because it's ribbis money. They can still keep it anyway, because they weren't the ones that took it. The Isser is only to take ribbis or to give ribbis. It doesn't involve Yerushim. The Ritva in Kiddushin Daf Vav Amud Beis, as is brought in Kuntres Al Hadaf, asserts that if a man gives a woman ribbis money for Kiddushin, the Kiddushin does take effect. Even though Kiddushin can only take effect if the man uses his own money, Kiddushin performed with stolen money or goods is invalid. Nevertheless, the Ritva maintains that ribbis money is considered his own money, since it was willingly conveyed to him by the Leva. The fact that it was collected illegally and must be returned does not mean, say the Ritva, that the money is not his while he still has it. The Machne Ephraim in Hilchas Malva Veleva Dine Ribbis Simen Beis, in light of our Gemara, finds difficulty with the Ritva's assertion. He asks that Rami Bar Chama in our Gemara indicates, as Taisus points out, that ribbis money is just like stolen money, does not halachically belong to the Malva, unless he acquires it with a Shine, or Yish and Shine Rishus. If the father borrowed an ox and then died, the children can continue to use it for the term of the borrow. In other words, if there's another 3 months left in the term, they can use it for that long. And if the ox died, ba'inus, they're not chayev, since they didn't borrow it. If they shechted it, not knowing it was borrowed, they must pay back two-thirds. If Reuven stole an ox and then shechted it on Shabbos, we don't say kamle b'deravamine, since he was already chayev for the geneva before the Isser Shabbos came in. For example, he stole on Friday, and he shechted on Shabbos. Normally we would say kamle b'deravamine, because once he's chayev misa for doing the shechita, he's putter on the mammon for stealing. But since he stole on Friday, he's now chayev mammonis for the stealing on Friday. Now on Shabbos, it's a whole separate parsha, and he's chayev misa for the shechita on Shabbos, but it's a whole separate parsha, because one happened on Friday and one happened on Shabbos. Therefore, he's chayev for both. If a child took possession of a field, we take it away from him now, and when he becomes a gadol, he can bring edim to prove it was really his. Normally, we need to have Edim testify in front of the Baldin. But if the Edim are about to leave town, or are about to die, and we can't locate the Baldin, they can come and testify even Shalei Bifnei Baldin. In terms of authenticating signatures on a shtar, it's a machlekes if you can do that Shalei Bifnei Baldin. But the halacha is, Mekaimin es hashtar Shalei Bifnei Baldin. When we send a shliach from Bezdin to summon someone to a din Torah, and he says the guy refused to come, we put the guy in cherem for not coming to Bezdin. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We invite a person to come to Bezdin up to 3 times. For example, Edim go and invite him to come on Monday. If he doesn't come, they go again to invite him to come on Thursday. If again he doesn't come, they invite him to come on the following Monday. If he still doesn't come, we then put him in cherem. And we don't invite people to Bezdin in Tishrei and Nisan, or Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, since they're very busy. And if they come to a shir within the 30 days before Yontif, in other words, they're busy preparing for Yontif because they go to a shir, we don't invite them either because they're busy with that shir. The Mishnah. A person shouldn't change money by a tax collector because we're afraid the money that the tax collector has is stolen money. Gemara. But you can give him money and take change. For example, you can give him $1 and get back 50 cents. How can this particular person, this money changer, steal money? We know the halacha. We know that the facts are dina de malchus adina, the edict of the malchus has validity. Therefore, that will protect people from people stealing from them. So how is it possible that can happen? My answer is this was an illegal tax collector who used to go around taking money from people even though he wasn't entitled to do so. If a person was trying to evade the tax collector, he is still not allowed to wear something which is shatnez, even if it's on top of 10 other pieces of clothing which are not shatnez. The Rush explains that the tax collection was only levied on clothing which was carried into a city, not on clothing that a person was wearing. So if a person wore 4 or 5 shirts, he wouldn't have to pay tax on it. Rabbi Akiva says a person is allowed to wear shatnez for this purpose. Rabbi Shimon Chasida said, you cannot steal from a guy, but you can keep his article which you borrowed. And if you find a lost article of a guy, you don't have to return it, since it says, v'chol avedas ochicha. A guy is not ochicha, a guy is not your brother. Therefore, you're not mechuyev to return a borrowed item or a lost item to him. But if there's a chash of chilul Hashem, then you must return it anyways. Shmuel says, if a guy makes a mistake and gives you too much money, or charges you too little, you're not mechuyev to tell him, as we see from numerous maises regarding the Amoraim here in our Gemara. Of course, if a person can return an item and make a kiddush Hashem, then it's probably worth doing that. Shmuel says, we hold dina de malchusa dina, the laws of the government have validity. Rava said, he can prove this, since they, the government, chop down our trees and build bridges, and we use them. Goyim, who rent out their animals for the purpose of field fertilization, within the tchum of the city, you're not allowed to use them, because sometimes these animals got mixed up with people's private animals. So you may be taking someone else's private animal for your usage. But chutz l'tchum, it's okay, since we can assume that they belong to the goyim. If a Jew knows testimony for a guy, and they didn't ask him to come and testify on behalf of the guy, but he did it on his own, and his testimony was against another Jew, we put him in cherem. If you're dealing with a chashev, a person, sometimes they'll treat him as if he's as chashev as two edim, even though he's only one person. If a person is about to sell property, he should give the first rights of purchase to his neighbors. What if a Jew sold property to a guy and didn't give the Jewish neighbor first rights of purchase? We put him in cherem. The Shulchan Aruch in Cheshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Ayin He, brings the Rush, who allows the sale of something to a guy if he didn't receive anything better in terms of offers from another Jew. However, the Tur brings down Ga'inim, numerous Ga'inim, who hold that selling property to a guy is prohibited under any circumstances. The Mishnah. If a tax collector took away Reuven's donkey and gave him a different one, or robbers took away a man's garment and replaced it with something else, anyone who ends up with this item can keep it, since the original owner was Miyayish, and Yush and Shini Rishus is Kaina. If a person rescues property, he can keep it if we know the original owner was Miyayish. Gemara. Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon that Yish works by both a Ganav and a Gazlan. Ravashi says, we don't believe someone who says Eidus Mesiach Lefitumai. This is Eidus which was said sort of in the course of conversation, off the cuff, and was not solicited. The only time we believe Eidus Mesiach Lefitumai is an Eidus Isha, when we're dealing with a woman who lost a husband, potentially, and we need to know whether he died or not, so we say Mishumi Guna Hikilu Be'Rabanan. An Eid Echad, or Mesiach Lefitumai, is believed in that circumstance, because we don't want her to remain an Aguna for the rest of her life. On top of Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Gufa Rabbi Eimer Ani, Ganav Kegazlan. Many places in Shas where it's brought Rabbi Eimer Ani. What does he mean, Eimer Ani? Where does that Lashon come from? Basif Engel explains that that means he's saying it in terms of his own personal opinion, because if Rebbe, who is the Nasi, says it, else being the Nasi, then no one can really argue with him. So therefore, here he's saying in his humbleness, Eimer Ani, this is just my personal opinion, and this is what I believe, and I'm not saying it b'teiras Nasi. And finally, the Gemara says, today Truma is only Mirabanan, so we can also allow Eidus on this Mesiach Lefitumai, as we see from the story brought in the Gemara of Rabbi Yechanan Eichel Chalas.